1 Peter chapter 2, we're going to begin with verse 13. Verse 11 and verse 12 is very much a summary of this unit of Sunday school lessons that you've been doing. So go back some time, take a look at verse 11, verse 12. It talks about, you know, avoiding the lust of the flesh so that we can live right in front of the Gentiles. Now, Peter is writing specifically to Jewish Christians, and he tells them in those verses, live right, even if they talk bad about you, and it will be to your credit. Someday, God is going to visit all the nations that we travel to with the gospel. God is going to visit them on the day of judgment and make sure that you live well, that you can, that can be your testimony. Our Sunday school for several weeks has been on the topic of living righteously in an unrighteous world. How do we conduct ourselves? How do we live as God's people in a world that are filled with the ungodly? And we've had several weeks in a row of Sunday school lessons on that theme. But this morning we're going to read from verses 13 down through verse 25. And that's kind of a chunk, but we're gonna finish 1 Peter chapter 2 this morning, I think. Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors, as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. For this is commendable, if because of conscience toward God one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. For what credit is it when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. For this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Last week, the first half or so of 1 Peter chapter 2, I had looked forward to. When we were finishing 1 Peter chapter 1, I was looking ahead to those verses in chapter 2 and thinking, I wish I could preach this today and not wait another week. Last week was a lot of fun. I hope you enjoyed it. I certainly enjoyed it. This week's lesson, not as much fun. We're not going to simply, that's the beauty of preaching a series that's out of a book, just going from one passage of Scripture to the next, to the next, to understand individual verses of Scripture. We need to put them in their proper context. The best way to understand a single verse is to put that in the context of the chapter. And I think the best way to study the Bible is to study complete chapters in the book of the Bible where they belong. And that keeps us from reading a brief passage of Scripture and giving it wildly inappropriate application. One of the verses in the passage that we've read this morning is chapter 2, verse 16, talking about freedom and liberty. And we might print that on the church bulletin or put it on the church sign during the week of 4th of July as we celebrate independence. But if you take just, and that's not even a full sentence, that verse is only half of the sentence that's composed in verse 15 and 16, if we take little sound bites, we run the risk of interpreting them in ways that the person that wrote it down never meant. So we like that verse about freedom and liberty as we celebrate our freedoms and liberties in the United States, but that verse is really about being a slave to God as opposed to being a slave to sin. We're not bound to the ruler of this world. We've been liberated by God in salvation, but we're now bound to the gospel and to the word of God and to be servants of His. Now, we do that with a glad heart. It's to our benefit. We're going to profit greatly being indebted to God as opposed to being slaves to sin and indebted to the ruler of this world. But we have to consider things in their proper context. So one of the, it's sort of a two-sided coin. It's a burden to bear and it's liberating when we preach through a series of sermons from the same book. Last week was a lot of fun. This week we have to be reminded that we are servants of God and we are in a foreign land, so to speak. We're ambassadors from a kingdom not of this world. And we need to represent our home. During the time we served at OBI, we always reminded our students that if we left the school for any reason, don't forget where we came from. There are rules to follow. There are rules of conduct when we're at the Christian school. But when we leave this place, whether it's going to a basketball game, whether we're going to go spend a fun day at the pizza buffet, don't forget you represent the school when you're out there. Don't go to another school, to a basketball game, and say or do something stupid because we're greatly outnumbered. And we're all going to get on a bus that has the name of the school written down the side of it in big 6-inch tall letters. Everybody will know who we are and where we're from. Represent us well, please. As we live as Christians in this world, as we live among the Gentiles, as we live among the people that we're trying to share the gospel with and win to Christ, we need to think about our witness and the testimony we leave behind, not just when we're inviting people to church, but in all the other things that we do throughout the day and throughout the week. When you're pushing your shopping cart through Walmart, we're ambassadors for Christ and for God's kingdom. When we're stuck in traffic, when we're driving in or near Atlanta, and other people are on the road or rude, we need to think about who we are and who's we are. My nature could turn me into an aggressive driver, but the bumper sticker on the back of my car says unitybaptist.church in big letters. And I need to remember that when I'm out in public and driving around and other people can see me and see my car. So that's like the longest introduction ever, isn't it? Let's get to what we want to say. Submit yourselves, Peter writes in verse 15. I'm sorry, that's verse 13. I can see the words. Sometimes I have trouble seeing the tiny little numbers in my Bible. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. It may be to the king, it may be to governors, it may be for the people who punish evildoers. He's talking about the police. Or it may be those who praise those who do good. So whoever it is, represent yourselves well. Follow the rules is what Peter is saying. Sometimes the rules are proper and they're right. And sometimes it seems to us that the rules of the government are unjust. Maybe we feel like innocent people are being picked on. Maybe we feel like as Christians we're not represented properly in the government. Maybe we live far out of town in a tiny little rural area, and we don't think that we have the same rights and responsibilities as people that live in a big city or in a populated area with more representation. We submit to the rules that are put out there for all of society to follow because we are a part of this society. Peter is writing in a time when everyone in his sphere of influence was a subject of the Roman government. Jesus lived his life and his earthly ministry during the height of Rome's power. It had spread about as far as it was going to. The Roman Empire had 200 years of peace and prosperity where they conquered territory and they ruled over lands that were spread all around the Mediterranean. It's pretty much all of Europe and a chunk of the Middle East and the northern coast of Africa. It was the Mediterranean world. The Roman Empire spent 200 years slowly falling apart and dying because it was so massive and so well-funded during the prosperous time. Jesus lived, the apostles lived, the New Testament church began during those years when the Roman Empire was as big and powerful as it was going to get. There's not a nation of Israel at this time. There's simply a province of many that were part of the Roman Empire. Peter says, follow the rules. Because as members of society, everyone has to follow the rules in order for that to work right. And even though you're part of a kingdom not made with human hands, even though this world is not our home, we're only passing through, we have to be good examples for other people to look to and follow. It will be to the glory of God that we are model citizens and follow the rules and laws of where we live. Other scriptures say as much as possible. Paul writes, as much as you are able to with what lies within you, live peaceably with other men. We obey the laws of the land unless they conflict with the laws of God. Think about Daniel. The king was persuaded by his political advisors that didn't like Daniel specifically to write a new law. And at the certain hour when the trumpets blasted and the music played, everyone would bow down and worship his image. And Daniel continued to pray regularly facing toward Jerusalem, I think 3 times a day. So the king didn't like the fact that he had to arrest Daniel and throw him into the lion's den. But he had been persuaded by crooked politicians to sign that law. Daniel was educated, knowledgeable of the things of God and of the things of the Babylonian Empire, which he served to the best of his ability. He was a faithful and loyal subject that was targeted by politics, but he continued doing what was right in the eyes of God. So we follow every law, we follow every rule, we drive the speed limit, we pay our taxes, we get our decal renewed on our license plate. We follow the laws of the land unless they conflict with the laws of God. So be model citizens. Do all of those things they used to teach in civics class. There's very few of those left anymore today. Until they pass a law that says you can't read your Bible or don't come to church, and then we're going to become the underground church. But until then, and that hasn't happened yet, we're going to follow the laws, the rules, the ordinances of the land that we live in. This is the will of God. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. That's the first fill in the blank. Be good and silence foolish men. I sort of summarized that so there was less to write down. Do good and silence foolish men. Now, there's never going to be an end a foolishness. The Bible is clear about that. People invent new ways to commit evil. What's wrong with people? Well, their hearts are continually set on evil. The Bible lists a long things of evil things people do, and inventors of evil is on that list. People are thinking of new ways to be evil that they haven't thought of before. And that's people's nature. But Peter's writing to Christian believers. We're going to do good, and that's God's will for our lives. And that will be to our benefit. That will be a testimony of us and of other Christians like us when we stand before God on the day of judgment. Live freely, but don't use your freedom, don't use your liberty as an excuse to commit evil. And then we'll come back to verse 17 in a few minutes. Servants, be submissive to your masters. Now, at the time this was written, he may have very well been talking about slaves. But when you hear critics of Christianity speak of how the Bible endorses slavery, slavery in the first century, slavery in Europe, Africa, and Asia was never what the United States had during the years leading up to the Civil War. That was a new kind of evil that was invented in the Americas. You will hear people today say that it was blacks that sold other blacks into slavery and they were brought to America. But those people collecting and trading slaves in Africa did not know what was happening to those people once they arrived in the southern United States, in Jamaica, in Haiti and Cuba, and were put to work on the sugar plantations or in the cotton fields, etc. When the Old and New Testament of the Bible talk about slaves, those were people that worked all day, and at the end of the day, they went home and they lived with their families. The Hebrews were slaves in Egypt. And they had whole entire cities because the Egyptians would not defile themselves by living where the Jews lived. Those were God's chosen people. He brought them out of slavery and established them as the nation of Israel. But when they lived in Egypt, they dwelled in the land of Goshen. And the Egyptians didn't live there because they would not make themselves unclean by living with the Jews, by eating at the same table the Jews ate at, etc. But what am I saying? I'm saying the Jews worked all day long for the Pharaoh, and at the end of the day, they went home. They had a meal with the family. The mothers and fathers were there together. Their children lived with them. The children grew up. And they continued to serve as slaves for the Pharaoh. But families were not separated. Slaves were not bred so they could be sold into slavery and make a profit for the slave owners. When the New Testament is telling slaves to be obedient to their masters, he is not writing to cotton plantation owners in Georgia in 1860. Just bear that in mind when you hear foolish people today say foolish things, and be good so that someday those foolish people can be silenced. That's a different sermon that I hadn't planned to preach today. Servants, be submissive to your masters. He's talking about any person that works. So it may have originally been written to slaves. It will serve us in the workplace. It will serve us wherever we are, because he's writing in a very general way for all people everywhere. It is commendable if you do good and you suffer for it, that you bear that patiently. And he goes on to say how that is Christ-like. In verse 21, to this you were called. Christ suffered for us, leaving us the example. And then he begins quoting from Isaiah chapter 53, speaking of the Christ, he committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. Jesus was convicted during a false trial. there were people paid to give testimony, and their testimonies didn't even agree with each other. One person said, I heard him say he was going to tear the temple down and build it back in 3 days. And another one said, I heard him say it was only 1 day. The false testimonies didn't even agree with each other. And yet Jesus was found guilty of saying these things. It's Christ-like when we repay evil with kindness, when we suffer and do not retaliate. Jesus sent his followers out in the world and says, you need to be wise like serpents, but innocent as doves. People are going to hate you. People are going to revile you for my name's sake, because we bear the name of Christ when we call ourselves Christians. The world isn't going to like that. We have it so much better in the United States than some Christians do in other places. I've included a note once again in your bulletin. Pray for the church in India. There is a pastor in India that I only know from Facebook, and he regularly sends me pictures of their worship or tells me that they've been out in the streets going door to door and testifying. He wants us to pray specifically right now because they are meeting in a house that they are paying rent for. They don't have a church necessarily. He would love to have a church building where that's all they did was went there and had church. We have churches on every corner. There are 39 churches in Gordon County just in the Gordon Memorial Association. And there are other Baptist churches besides that. And there are Methodists and Presbyterian and so on and so forth. We are abundantly and richly blessed. Let me summarize that way and we can move on. The second fill in the blank on your outline, to this you were called. Christ suffered for us, leaving us as an example. So in the second statement, suffered goes in the first blank, example goes in the next. He concludes by saying, for all of you like sheep were gone astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and the overseer of your souls. Not too long ago, we read from John's Gospel where he said, I am the good shepherd. And Jesus explains he's a shepherd that loves the sheep. He's not like some guy that's just paid to watch them. A guy that's paid to watch the sheep will run away when there's danger to save himself, because those are just sheep. But the shepherd will defend the sheep from predators. The shepherd will lay down his life so the sheep can live. And that's the kind of shepherd that Jesus is for us. And remember, we're not compared to sheep because we're adorable. We're not cute and fluffy. We wander about and couldn't possibly take care of ourselves. And that's why the Bible says we need a shepherd. Go back to chapter 2, verse 17. I thought about making this the only outline that was printed in the bulletin. At the end of every Sunday school lesson, there's that page of application. It may not say this is the application, but it takes everything we learned in that Sunday school lesson and gives us some steps that we can take in the next week. Or here's some things you can do with what you've learned in the lesson today. The last page of the Sunday school lesson is always application. So that's what this is in verse 17. Here are some steps we can take this week. If you haven't been doing these four things, we need to start. If you have been doing these things, we need to encourage each other to continue. This is what all Christians everywhere do. This is what our church does. These should be things we do Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, in our homes, and before the world, even when we're not met together here in the church house. 1 Peter 2:17, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. If your Bible says some different words that mean the same thing, fill in the blanks those ways. Honor all people. If you're reading the King James and it says honor all men, put honor all men. I didn't look at half a dozen different translations to see what they say, but everybody here can read. Honor all people. Every person you meet this week is made in the image of God. And there's only two kinds of people in this world. There are people that need to receive the gospel because they're lost. There are people that God loves because they were made in His image. They were made to honor God, and they haven't been, and they need to. There's lost people in the world. And there are people in the world that are Christians. None of us do that perfectly. But the goal is to continually become more like Christ. And some people haven't heard that. And there are some Christians that are doing wrong things because they don't know any better. We need to find them and share God's word with them. Perhaps they don't know that's not what they're supposed to be doing. Honor all people. There's only two kinds of people. Those that God loves because they're born-again Christian believers, and there's the mission field that we need to witness to. People are not the enemy. You've heard me say many times, Satan and his group are our spiritual adversaries. When we talk about putting on the whole armor of God, it's to fight spiritual wickedness in the world, not people that are wicked. Christian soldiers don't march into the world and do actual battle. Don't get the mission field mixed up with the battlefield. Honor all people. Love the brotherhood. A modern translation might say love the brothers and sisters. Love the family of God. Honor all people is everybody. Love the brotherhood or the brothers and sisters in Christ that are born again believers. It's a commandment. It's not love people that are lovable. We will know Christian believers because they love one another. That's how to recognize them when you go out into the world. Fear God, honor the king. Notice it doesn't say fear the king. We don't fear the rulers of this world, that the greatest power they have is to kill the body. We're told in Scripture to fear the one that can kill the body and destroy the soul, that's able to divide the bone and the marrow. Fear God. Respectful sort of observant fear. Don't be afraid, but hold God in the proper respect. Be afraid to dishonor God and to commit sin. Be afraid to oppose God. When the Jewish Sanhedrin were conspiring together against Jesus, a wise man among them said, let's be careful, because if this person is not from God, then all the things he does are not going to amount to anything. His reputation will come to nothing, as other false Christs before him have already come to nothing. But if what this person doing is of God, we're not going to be able to stop him anyway. And we certainly wouldn't want to be found opposing the work of God. Even the Jewish leaders who wanted to arrest Jesus and have him crucified, some of them said, we need to carefully consider what it is we're doing here. We don't want to be found working against God, because no good can come of that. Fear God, honor the king. And king is in a lowercase letter, because there is a King of Kings and there is a Lord of Lords that is above all powers of this world, that rules supremely, and all will stand before that king when he judges the nations, the small and the great, the rich and the poor, the evil and the meek and humble, and everyone in between. We'll be equal on the day of judgment. And the only thing that will matter is what we've done for Christ at that time. Follow the rules. Treat other people the way you would have them to treat you. do good to people that do good and do good even to the people that do evil. The Old Testament says when you do good to those that do evil to you, it's like heaping hot coals on their head. I think it's Solomon that suggested that's the way we'll get even with evildoers, is kill them with kindness. And not only will they be judged for their evil, they'll be judged more harshly because you were nice to them and they repaid your goodness with evil. Go out into the world this week and honor all people. Love the brothers and sisters. Fear God. Honor the president and the governor and all of those that are in a position of authority. That's our homework assignment as we leave today. Do that from now until the time we meet together again. Let's pray together.